In this special edition of Search Security, Security Wire Weekly Podcast, we speak with Bob Russo and Troy Leach of the PCI Security Standards Council about the final version of the new PCI DSS 3.0 standard. I'm Eric Parizeau. It's great to have you with us. On Thursday, November 7th, 2013, the PCI Security Standards Council will officially release version 3.0 of the PCI Data Security Standard, the now 9-year-old standard that seeks to help merchants protect payment card data wherever and however it's stored, processed, or transmitted. On the eve of that release, I spoke with Bob Russo, General Manager of the SSC, and Troy Leach, CTO of the SSC, about all things PCI, past, present, and future.
Okay, so let me sort of set the stage here. Again, this is the first standards update in 3 years, and actually what's happened since the last time we spoke is that we've had a couple of years of feedback here, and more importantly, two community meetings with over 1,700 people from 50-plus countries that have attended. And, you know, we made some minor tweaks based on some of the things that we've heard both at the U.S. and the European community meeting. And, you know, I want to emphasize the word minor because, you know, gathering what amounts to 2 years of feedback, we've pretty much seen it all. So there have been, you know, just some clarifications in the way things were stated, so that was pretty much the major changes, or as I call them, minor changes that we had from the community meeting. By and large, the reception that the standard 3.0 has gotten at the community meetings has been overwhelmingly positive. People are pleased with what they're seeing. Pleased based on, you know, some of the things that we're seeing out in the market that are being addressed here, most of which is, you know, making it a little more user-friendly, making it a little more flexible, focusing on security as a shared responsibility, because we know that so many of these merchants and people that need to comply with PCI are using third parties to do a lot of the work as it relates to accepting payments, and letting them know that this is, you know, not basically offsetting their responsibility, but more so that it's a shared responsibility with these third parties. And then, you know, again, I guess the biggest underlying theme is the education and awareness factor and making security and therefore PCI part of your business as usual, so that it's not a once-a-year exercise.
Can you point out the specific changes that were made between the draft version in August and the final version this week?
Well, there's going to be quite a few changes that came about based on both the feedback we heard from our community meetings, but we also have our board of advisors who had an opportunity to provide another round of feedback to the process. But I would like to highlight maybe some of the areas that we identified in that particular process. One of them was that around requirement 9.9 and the use of inspecting the point of sale systems, there was concern about how the language was written, so we took a focus on how to really identify and emphasize the areas that we've seen attacks over the last 2 to 3 years, which is basic common best practices of inspecting these devices for simple types of tampering. That was one area. Another area, there was a requirement in the August draft around memory scraping. It is an attack vector that has been identified in our industry, and taking and trying to collect cardholder data as it resides in volatile memory. So we talked to the community, and one of the areas that we discussed is we changed that from being a specific requirement of demonstrative evidence to, at a minimum, having the developers that are creating those applications, creating the process of accepting and processing payment cards, that they are aware and documenting how they are protecting and minimizing cardholder data as it's being processed in memory.
So as Search Security reported, version 3.0 obviously brings some significant changes. Increased emphasis on merchant-conducted vulnerability assessments, more detailed documentation of in-scope system components and card data flows, increased emphasis on malware detection and vulnerability management, and so on. But most are not calling it wholesale change. That said, I'd like to hear from each of you on what specific change or changes that you think overall are most important in version 3.0 and why.
Well, I'll go first just to steal Bob's thunder. I think two areas that you mentioned the penetration test, and I think the new requirement for demonstrating that the environment has been appropriately segmented from the rest of the network and the infrastructure is going to be one of the more significant changes in this version of the standard, because in the past, we've seen compromises where an organization thought they were doing the right thing. They thought that they had adequately segmented off what they deemed to be their card data environment, only to find that it was never tested appropriately and that criminals were able to access from remote locations into the card data environment. So I think the penetration testing of validating segmentation is appropriate is going to be one of the bigger changes, because organizations that may have assumed their card data environment and their card holder information had a smaller footprint in their organization than they previously assumed, I think that's going to be of significant impact. The other area is simply because of the breadth of how many touch points it has, is what we mentioned in requirement 9.9 and point of sale systems, and asking that there's some type of effort by those that are in face-to-face consumer environments, that they have awareness of what tampering of point-of-sale systems may look like, and are doing their best effort to make sure that those terminals within their environment are protected. Bob,
yeah,
I don't know what you...
Yeah, so you know, just to reiterate what Troy said, he said he was going to steal my thunder. So, you know, I think, you know, 9.9 is really one of the more important ones. I mean, we've been talking about this for quite some time. We have a number of things on our website that relate to skimming and best practices in terms of skimming, and make sure that the entire breadth of people that are dealing with credit cards are aware of some of these things, and incorporating that, you know, into 9.9, especially with the Christmas season coming up now. You know, we're going to have merchants hiring all kinds of additional help, college kids, high school kids, that are all going to be handling credit cards at this point. You know, we want to make sure that they're keeping an inventory of, you know, what devices that they've got in the store, and more importantly, conducting periodic inspections on these kinds of things. You know, letting these people know that this is what the device looks like now. In some cases, here's a picture of what the device looks like or what it's supposed to look like. You know, periodically, you know, every couple of days, have a look at the device. Does it look any different, any more wires coming out of it, or any less wires coming out of it, you know, than originally planned there? If a device looks like it's, you know, been tampered with or kludgy, say something. Let somebody know. You know, this is the chain of command and how it works. So, you know, certainly I think that's really one of the more important updates, you know, in the standard, making sure that everybody is aware of these things, especially in a small merchant environment. Also, the flexibility, you know, as it relates to passwords in the system, I think that's another really important area. We're saying, use X number of digits in your password. You know, maybe that's not the best thing. Maybe passphrases are easier to understand, and this standard gives you the ability, to pick and choose and use what you think is best, for your environment. So, I think those are, in my mind, some of the more important things based on some of the breach results that we're seeing. I mean, as you look at these breach reports, a lot of these things revolve around passwords and, people using default passwords, again, same old, same old. And, this relates to that. So I think that's pretty important as well.
And one other one that came to mind as Bob was talking was around the education of developers. We're seeing more and more emphasis on logical and software within the payment transactions. And because of that, criminals are obviously seeing the same attack opportunities. So we've focused on the education of application developers, both in the DSS and especially in the PADSS. There's a lot of new requirements around making sure that developers have broad security awareness training, not just PCI and how payment card transactions work, but just that they understand security in general. We had a breach over the last couple of years where it was a payment application that was compromised. They sat down, the five or six developers that were responsible for creating the application, and they asked them, why didn't you follow PCI best practices? And they said, what's PCI? And then they're in the payment industry. And then they said, well, if you didn't know PCI, why didn't you at least follow OWASP and SANS and all these other basic, top 10 type of security practices? Because these were basic, buffer overflows and other type of security vulnerabilities. It wasn't something very unique. And they hadn't heard of any of those. So one of the emphasis that we've done throughout both standards is education for those that merchants and service providers are going to be dependent on, and specifically application developers.
You both covered a lot of the specific ones I wanted to drill into. The only one I want to get into with a little bit more depth is 11.3 and 4, the implementing methodology for penetration testing. Troy, you said in August that the intent is for merchants to conduct their own vulnerability assessments in addition to existing mandated quarterly assessments by approved scanning vendors. Can you talk a little bit more about why that differentiation is important and how that change was received by the PCI community?
Yeah, that's a great question because we did receive at the community meetings a lot of questions around what is that difference. So the primary difference of those two is a identification. The new requirement is an identification of what is the card data environment, and is that card data environment truly segmented from the rest of the network. Whereas the ASV scan, the external scan, is for once we've identified what that card data environment is, have we tested for updates and changes and vulnerabilities to attack that particular environment. With the feedback we heard at the community meeting also, especially from this security professionals that were in attendance, but also from the business professionals as well, is they believe this new requirement is a welcome addition because it will provide that strong evidence that they have truly identified what is the appropriate environment and are testing against that. They see the same headlines that we do, and many of them are aware of that. You see an organization say that they were PCI compliant and were compromised. The reality is typically that organization was trying to do the right thing. They were trying to secure the environment based on the requirements within our standards, but unfortunately they had weren't aware that a third-party system or even a system within their environment that was not identified as part of the card data environment was the result of the compromise. So they want to have that type of evidence to show to senior management that they either we need to re-engineer our business process to minimize cardholder data footprint, or we need to expand the security to include that within the scope of the card data environment.
Now, there are some who say this is a positive step forward for the DSS, and others who say version 3.0 doesn't go far enough. How do you both and the PCI community find where that middle ground is?
Well, I think the PCI community is a very diverse group of stakeholders. So we have the merchants that are responsible for making these additional changes. We have the security professionals that are out there seeing a host of misinterpretation and poorly implemented security best practices. We see the vendor communities and service providers that are becoming a more and more dependent part of a payment transaction. And so there's a very diverse group that are weighing in as to what are the appropriate next steps for this version of the standard. I think it's been a very good balance, and based on the special interest groups and task force that we created over the last 3 years, we've had these groups come together and discuss what is a good level of security and confidence that we can have in the transaction without stifling innovation and simply being able to accept payments. So in this version of the standard, I think when you get to a point where some people are saying it has gone far enough and others say maybe it's gone too far, we've probably struck a good middle ground that is an appropriate stage in the maturity of the standard. What we've seen is that the maturity of the standard and how broad it is allows for evolving technology like mobile, cloud computing to be incorporated into the process and allow for the merchants and service providers to make good risk management decisions. One area that we haven't talked about in this interview, I think we maybe talked about it in August, is we've incorporated a third column around navigating and guidelines so that people understand the intent and spirit. I think that is a critical aspect and may be seen as the biggest change to the standard because there are people that are going to have made assumptions just reading the requirement, but now they'll look at a secondary set of intent and spirit of that requirement, and they may have to change their business process based on that.
A theme that I know is near and dear to Bob's heart with this release is making the DSS business as usual, or integrate the best practices of the DSS into everyday business operations. It sounds good. It's obviously easier said than done. Bob, I'd love to hear from you about what you think about this version of the standard will help bring that goal to fruition for more merchants.
Well, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. We used to have a board member that had a pet phrase, says easy, does hard. And that's, I mean, specifically what this is. You know, but unfortunately, as Troy said, you know, the more breaches we see, the more it becomes apparent to us and to the community, you know, that these things are, you know, that we're seeing by and large, 95-96% are easily stopped, you know, by doing some simple things. And, you know, when you stop to really analyze it and think about the fact that, you know, people are getting breached, you know, even though they've been PCI compliant at one point in time, and then, you know, they're getting breached by some very, very simple things, you know, that they just hadn't thought about. And you know, we have to keep hammering the point home that this has to become part of your DNA, that there really is no other way to get around this thing. You know, it's not a set it and forget it kind of issue. You know, you can't just do this once. You've got to live these things. You know, I tell a number of stories in a number of conferences that I attend, you know, based on my real life experiences. And people, you know, I had a break-in into my house, and by any stretch of the imagination, I'm PCI compliant. I have checkbox everything you can possibly imagine. I have alarms, I have security gates, I have video surveillance, I even have a dog, and I still had someone break into my house. How can that possibly be? And the way that it happens is, you know, you forget to do something one day. You forget to turn the alarm on. You forget to lock the door. And these are the things that we have to keep harping on people. And I have to tell you, based on what we heard and what we saw at the two community meetings so far, You know, the community is behind this effort. I mean, they want to be involved, and, you know, as evidence, the feedback that we've gotten over the last couple of years, you know, bears this out in making businesses, making PCI business as usual. I'm not the one, nor is Troy, nor are the people at the council, the ones who said we need to make PCI or security business as usual. It was the community that came back and said that. This is based on their feedback that they want to do this. So, you know, they're willing and eager to do this, but again, you know, as I said, says easy, does hard.
Cert Security is publishing a special report on the release of PCI DSS 3.0. And as part of that, we are creating a special visual timeline denoting the history of the PCI DSS. I'm curious, just briefly, if I can get a thought from each of you on what you think is a historic milestone in the history of PCI DSS that you think helped lead to the success that the standard enjoys today.
Well, you know, I'll go first here. I think certainly the formation of the PCI Security Standards Council has to be number one on that list, because, you know, before the council was actually formed, there were various and sundry instantiations of PCI. Each one of the brands had their own flavor and version. They still have their own compliance. You know, they're all different compliance systems, but they're all based now on one specific standard, which is, you know, PCI. It used to be you could call up one brand and ask a question and call up another brand a week later and ask the same question and get two different answers. That doesn't happen anymore. So I think, you know, certainly the formation of the council is one milestone. And I think certainly another milestone is the first community meeting that we had. You know, this really shows the involvement of the community here. I mean, I remember our first community meeting as if it were yesterday up in Toronto. There were maybe 300 or 400 people that attended, you know, almost 7 years ago. And it was, you know, why are you making us do this? How, you know, why should we do this? You guys have to fix the system, not us. And the evolution to where we are now with these last community meetings, where people are, you know, actively saying this has really been a good thing for the industry because it's gotten more security into us. A lot of people have used it as a springboard to get more security into their organizations. So, you know, I think that first community meeting and all of the community meetings since have just gotten better and better and bigger and bigger. You know, and really, that's what this is all about, the community involvement, not us dictating what needs to be done, but the community involvement.
And for me, I think along with that, you know, what the council has been most successful in doing is being able to facilitate collaboration among a very diverse group of entities. There are many different forums for these different industry verticals to get together, but to come together collectively, regardless of industry, petroleum, airlines, retail, regardless of your industry vertical, to see across a broader spectrum some of the areas that are going to be common types of attacks that everyone will see, and then bring in the vendors that are developing on behalf of the merchant community, to bring in the security professionals that are there and have these special interest groups. I think the development and of the special interest groups itself is another significant milestone for us. The key value to the council is not that we produce good security standards. The key value is that, to Bob's earlier point, we align industry expectations so that you don't have diversity of requirements from different payment brands, but you have one set of requirements that are going to be both realistic because they're going to incorporate not only the technical aspects, but the understanding of the business needs around just being able to process payment cards, And then one other milestone that I'd like to identify is when we created the PADSS program and the PTS program. So it was kind of the progression of working with the industry, saying maybe there's ways that we can collaborate, create some independent list, and that will ease the cost of compliance for individual merchants, but then there will be a independent testing and validation of the systems that you're going to be dependent on. So there's still the integrity to the process and those checks and balances for accepting payments, but it's not going to be just on one or two different industry sectors. It's going to be a collective process that every stakeholder is engaged in.
Tell me what happens from here. Describe the next 6 to 12 months in terms of phasing the standard in, how merchants should prepare, and then any other important activities the SSC is undertaking in that time.
Okay, so the timeline, you know, as we've said before, November 7th, the standard becomes official. It does not become effective until January 1st of 2014, at which point those people that need to comply with the standard will have 1 year until the end of 2014 to begin using version 3.0. That, of course, it means that we do not want them to wait until the end of the year. If they can begin to use it, you know, quickly and get familiar with it and begin to understand exactly what needs to be done in order to implement it, that's wonderful, because, you know, certainly we're going into a feedback process again at the end of next year, and we'd like to have that feedback. But that, by and large, is the timeline and is the process for putting this in.
We appreciate it, Bob Russo, Troy Leach, Security Standards Council. Thanks so much for your time.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Eric.
Take care.
Have a great day. Thank you for listening to this special edition of Search Security's Security Wire Weekly Podcast. For our special report on the release of PCI DSS 3.0, and all of the industry's best news and advice on PCI compliance, visit our PCI page at searchsecurity.com/PCI. That's searchsecurity.com/PCI. Until next time, I'm Eric Perez. Stay safe out there.